angrily grabs him by his tie and practically drags him out of the office. I arrange the things in my desk the way I like them and read a little, but by lunchtime I've sent at least 10 pictures of my office to Landon, and to Harden. I knew that Harden wouldn't respond, but I couldn't help myself. I wanted him to see the view. Maybe it would make him change his mind about moving here. I'm only making excuses for my momentary lapse in judgment in sending him the pictures. But I miss him. There. I said it. I miss him terribly, and I was hoping for a response from him. Even a simple text. Something. But nothing came. Landon sent an excited response to each of the pictures, even when I sent a cheesy one of me holding a coffee mug with Vance Publishing printed on the side. The more I dwell on my impulsive decision to send those pictures to Harden, the more I regret it. What if he takes them the wrong way? He does have a tendency to do that. He may see them as a reminder of the fact that I'm moving on. He may even think that I'm trying to rub this whole thing in his face. That truly wasn't my intention, and I can only hope that he doesn't take it that way. Maybe I should send another message to explain myself, I think, or tell him that I sent the pictures accidentally. I don't know which would be more believable. Neither, I'm sure. I'm overthinking this. After all, they're only pictures, and I can't be fully responsible for how he chooses to interpret them. I can't be fully responsible for his emotions like that. When I walk into the break room on my floor, I find Trevor sitting at one of the square tables with a tablet in front of him.
"Welcome to Seattle," he says, his blue eyes beaming bright.
"Hey!" I return his enthusiasm with a smile and swipe my debit card through the slot on the massive vending machine. I press a few small numbered buttons and am rewarded with a sleeve of peanut butter crackers. I'm too nervous to be hungry, and I'll go out for lunch tomorrow, after I've had a chance to explore the area.
"How do you like Seattle so far?"
Trevor asks. I look to him for permission, and when he nods, I slide into the chair across from him. I haven't seen much yet. I only arrived yesterday, but I love this new building. Two women enter the room and smile at Trevor. One of them turns to smile at me, and I give her a small wave. They begin to talk with each other, and then the shorter woman, who has black hair, pulls open the refrigerator and takes out a microwavable meal while her friend picks at her fingernails.
"You should explore, then. There are so many things to do here. It's a beautiful city,"
Trevor declares as I munch absent-mindedly on a cracker.
"The Space Needle, the Pacific Science Center, art museums, you name it."
"I do want to see the Space Needle and Pike Place Market," I say, but I'm beginning to feel uneasy because every time I glance over at the women, I can tell that they're both looking at me and talking quietly. I'm quite paranoid today.
"You should. Have you decided where you're staying yet?"
he asks, swiping his index finger across the screen to close the window on his tablet, giving me his full attention. I'm actually at Kimberly and Christian's house for right now, only for a week or two until I can find my own place. The urgency in my voice is embarrassing. I hate that I have to stay with them because Harden ruined my chance to rent the only apartment I could find. I want to live on my own and not worry about being a burden to anyone.
"I could ask around and see if there are any vacancies in my building,"
Trevor offers. He adjusts his tie and smooths the silver fabric down before running his hands over the lapels of his suit. "Thanks, but I'm not sure your building would be in my price range," I softly remind him. "He's the head of finance, and I'm an intern, a decently paid intern, but I'm sure that I can't even afford to rent the dumpster behind his building." He flushes.
"Okay,"
he says, realizing the massive difference between our incomes.
"I can still ask around and see if anyone knows of any places."
"Thank you." I smile a convincing smile. I'm sure Seattle will feel more like home once I actually have a home.
"I agree. It's going to take some time, but I know you'll love it here."
His crooked grin is warm and welcoming. "Do you have any plans after work?" I ask before I can stop myself.
"I do,"
he says, his soft voice fumbling.
"But I can cancel them."
"No, no, it's fine. I was just thinking that since you know the city, you could show me around. But if you already have plans, don't worry about it. I hope that I can make some friends here in Seattle."
"I'd love to show you around. I was just going jogging, that's all."
"Jogging?" My nose crinkles. "What for?"
"For fun."
"That doesn't sound like much fun," I laugh, and he shakes his head in amused displeasure.
"I usually go every day after work. I'm still getting to know the city, too, and it's a good way to learn the layout. You should come along one day."
"I don't know. The idea doesn't sound appealing."
"We could walk instead,"
He chuckles.
I live in Ballard. It's a pretty cool neighborhood.
I've heard of Ballard, actually, I say, remembering browsing through page after page on sites showing the neighborhoods of Seattle. Okay, yeah. Let's walk around Ballard, then. I close my hands in front of me and rest them on my lap. I can't help but think how Hardin would feel about this. He despises Trevor, and he's already having a hard enough time with our space arrangement. Not that he's said this, but I'd like to think that he is. Regardless of how much space is put between Hardin and me, literal or metaphorical, I only see Trevor as a friend. The last thing on my mind is being romantic with someone, especially anyone other than Hardin.
Okay, then.
He smiles, clearly surprised that I've agreed to come along.
My lunch hour is over, so I have to get back to my office, but I'll text you my address, or we can go straight from work if you want.
Let's just go straight from here. I'm wearing reasonable shoes. I point down to my flats, mentally patting myself on the back for not wearing heels today.
Sounds good. I'll meet you at your office at 5,
he says, and stands up. Yes, that's fine. I get up, too, and toss the crackers wrapper into the trash can.
We all know why she got the job anyway,
I hear one of the women say behind me. When, out of curiosity, I look over to where they're sitting, they both quickly get quiet and stare down at the table. I can't help but feel that they were talking about me. So much for making friends in Seattle.
All those two do is gossip. Ignore them,
Trevor says, placing his hand between my shoulder blades and guiding me out of the break room. When I get back to my office, I reach into my desk drawer and pull out my cell phone. 2 missed calls, both from Hardin. Should I call him back right now? He called twice, so maybe something is wrong. I should, I think, by way of bargaining with myself. He answers on the first ring and hurriedly says,
Why didn't you answer when I called you?
Is something wrong? I stand up from my chair in a slight panic.
No, nothing's wrong,
he breathes. I can picture the exact way his pink lips move as he says the simple words.
Why did you send those pictures?
I look around my office, worried about upsetting him. I was just excited about my office and I wanted you to see it. I hope you didn't think I was trying to be mean about it and brag. I'm sorry for...
No, I was just confused.
He coolly interjects, then goes silent. After a few seconds, I say, I won't send any more. I shouldn't even have sent those. I lean my forehead against the office window and stare down at the streets of the city.
Don't worry, it's fine. How is it there? Do you like the place?
Hardin's voice is somber, and I want to smooth away the frown that I know is marring his face right now. It's lovely here. He calls me out. I knew he would.
You didn't answer the question.
I like it here, I say softly.
You sound absolutely ecstatic.
I really do like it. I'm just adjusting, that's all. What's happening back there? I ask in order to keep the conversation going. I'm not ready to get off the phone with him just yet.
Nothing,
he quickly responds. Is this awkward for you? I know you said you didn't want to talk on the phone, but you called me, so I was just...
No, it's not awkward,
he interrupts.
It's never awkward with us. And I only meant I don't think we should talk for hours every day if we aren't going to be together, because that doesn't make any sense and it's only going to torture me.
So you do want to talk to me then? I ask, because I'm pathetic and I need to hear him say the words.
Yes, of course I do.
A car horn honks in the background and I think he must be driving.
So what then? We're going to chat on the phone like friends?
He asks. No anger in his voice at all, only curiosity. I don't know. Maybe we could try that? This separation feels so different from the last. This time we separated on good terms, and it wasn't a clean break. I'm not ready to decide if a clean break from Hardin is what I actually need, so I push the thought back, file it away, and promise to visit it later.
It won't work.
I don't want us to ignore one another and not speak again, but I haven't changed my mind about the space thing, I tell him.
Fine. Tell me about Seattle, then,
he finally says into the receiver. Chapter 75. Tessa. After I spend half an afternoon on the phone with Hardin and getting close to no actual work done, my first day at the new office is over, and I wait patiently for Trevor just outside my door. Hardin was so calm earlier, and he sounded so clear, as if he was focused on something. Standing here in the corridor, I can't contain my happiness that we're still communicating. It's so much better now that we're no longer avoiding each other. Deep down, I know that it won't continue to be this easy, talking this way, teasing myself with small doses of Hardin when in reality I want him, all of him, all the time. I want him here with me, holding me, kissing me, making me laugh. This must be what denial feels like. I'm fine with that for now. It feels pretty good compared to my other option, sadness. I sigh and rest my head against the wall as I continue to wait. I'm beginning to wish that I hadn't asked Trevor if he was free after work. I'd rather be at Kimberly's house, talking on the phone to Hardin. I wish he had just come here. He could be the one meeting me instead. He could have an office close to mine. He could come by my office multiple times a day, and in between those times, I could make excuses to go to his. I'm sure Christian would give Hardin a job if he wanted one. He's made it clear that he wanted Hardin to work for him again a couple of times. We could spend our lunch hour together, maybe even recreate some of the memories we shared at the old office. I begin picturing Hardin behind me bent down over the top of my desk, my hair wrapped tightly around his fist.
"Sorry I'm a little late. My meeting ran over."
Trevor interrupts my reverie, and I jump in both surprise and embarrassment. Oh, it's okay. I tuck my hair behind my ear and swallow. Waiting. If only he knew what I was thinking. Thank goodness he doesn't have a clue. I'm not sure where those thoughts even came from. He inclines his head the other way, peering down the empty hallway.
"Are you ready to go?"
"Yes." We make small talk as we walk through the building. Nearly everyone is left for the day, leaving the office quiet. Trevor tells me about his brother's new job in Ohio and how he went shopping for a new suit to wear to our coworker Crystal's wedding next month. Idly, I wonder just how many suits Trevor owns. Once we get to our cars, I follow Trevor's BMW as he drives through the crowded city, and we finally arrive in the small neighborhood of Ballard. According to the blogs I was reading before my move, it's one of the hippest neighborhoods in Seattle. Coffee shops, vegan restaurants, and hipster bars line the narrow streets. I pull my car into the parking garage beneath Trevor's building and laugh to myself while remembering that he offered to help me find an apartment in this pricey place. Trevor smiles, gesturing to his suit.
"I just need to change, obviously."
Once we get to his apartment and he wanders off, I nosily glance around his expansive living room. Pictures of family and articles clipped from newspapers and magazines fill the frames on his mantle. An intricate display piece made from melted and molded wine bottles takes up the entire coffee table. Not a trace of dust has been allowed to collect in any of the corners. I'm impressed.
"Ready,"
Trevor announces, stepping out of his bedroom and zipping up a red sweatshirt. It always catches me off guard to see him dressed so casually. It's such a vast difference from how he looks normally. After walking two blocks from his building, both of us are shivering and shaking.
"Are you hungry, Tessa? We can grab something to eat."
White puffs of cold air follow his words. I nod eagerly. My stomach growls in hunger, reminding me of just how insufficient a package of peanut butter crackers is for lunch. I tell Trevor to choose a restaurant he likes, and we end up at a small Italian grill only feet away from where we were just walking. The sweet smell of garlic fills my senses, and my mouth waters as we're escorted to a small booth in the back.
Chapter 76. Hardin. "You look much more hygienic now," I tell Richard as he steps out of the bathroom, wiping his freshly shaven face with a white towel. "I haven't shaved my face in months," he responds, rubbing the smooth skin on his chin. "You don't say." I roll my eyes, and he grants me half a smile. "Thanks again for letting me stay here." His deep voice trails off. "It's not permanent, so don't thank me. I'm still not cool with this whole situation." I take another bite of the pizza I ordered for myself. I ended up sharing with Richard. I need to find a way to take some of the pressure off of Tessa. She has too much going on lately, and if I can help her in any way by handling this mess with her father, I will.
"I know it. I'm surprised you haven't thrown me out yet," he says with a laugh, as if that's something to make a joke about. I stare at him. His eyes look too large for his face, with dark rings showing through his white skin. I sigh. So am I, I admit with annoyance.
Richard quivers while I stare at him, not from intimidation, but from a lack of whatever the hell drug it is that he's used to taking. I want to know if he brought any drugs into our apartment while he was staying here just last week. However, if I ask him and he says yes, I'll lose my temper, and he'll be out of my apartment within seconds. For Tessa's sake and for mine, I rise to my feet and leave the living room with my empty plate in hand. The stack of dirty dishes in the sink has managed to double in size, and loading the dishwasher is the last thing I want to do at the moment.
Do the dishes as payment!
I call to Richard. I hear his deep laughter from the hallway, and he walks into the kitchen just as I reach the bedroom door and close it. I want to call Tessa again, just to hear her voice. I want to know about the rest of her day. What does she plan to do after work? Did she stare at her phone with a stupid-ass grin on her face after we hung up earlier, like I did? Probably not. I now know that all my past sins are finally catching up to me. That's why Tessa was given to me. A merciless punishment disguised as a beautiful reward. Having her for months just to have her taken from me, yet still dangling in front of my face by means of casual phone calls. I don't know how much longer it will be until I succumb to my fate and finally allow myself to break out of this denial. Denial. That's exactly what this is. It doesn't have to be, though. I can change the outcome of all this. I can be who she needs me to be without dragging her down to my hell again. Fuck this. I'm calling her. Her phone rings and rings, yet she doesn't pick up. It's almost 6. She should be done with work and back at her place. Where the hell else would she go? While debating whether or not to call Christian, I push my feet into my gym shoes, lazily tie them, and shove my arms through my jacket. I know she'll be upset, beyond mad, surely, if I call him, but I've already called her 6 times and she hasn't answered once. I groan and run my fingers over my unwashed hair. This giving each other space shit is really fucking irritating me. I'm going out, I tell my unwanted house guest. He nods, unable to speak due to the handful of potato chips that he's shoveling into his mouth. At least the sink is free of dishes now. Where the fuck am I even supposed to go? Within minutes, my car is parked in the lot behind the small gym. I don't know what being here will accomplish, or if this shit will help me. But right now, I'm growing more and more irritated at Tessa, and all I can think about doing is cussing her out or driving to Seattle to find her. I don't need to do either of those things. They'd only make things worse.
Chapter 77. Tessa. By the time my plate is clear, I'm practically twitching in my seat. The moment we ordered our meals, I realized that I left my phone in my car, and it's driving me more insane than it should. No one really calls me much. However, I can't help but think that maybe Harden has, or at least sent me a text message. I'm trying my best to listen to Trevor while he talks about an article in the Times he read, trying not to think of Harden and the possibility that he may have called, but I can't help it. I'm distracted during the entire dinner, and I'm positive that Trevor notices. He's just too kind to call me out on it.
Don't you agree?
Trevor's voice pulls me from my thoughts. I scramble through the last few seconds of conversation, trying to remember what he could be talking about. The article was about healthcare, I think. Yeah, I do, I lie. I have no clue if I agree or not, but I do wish the server would hurry and bring our check. As if on cue, the young man places a small booklet on our table, and Trevor hastily pulls out his wallet. I begin, but he slides several bills inside, and the server disappears back into the restaurant kitchen.
It's on me.
I quietly thank him and glance at the large stone clock hanging just above the door. It's 7:00. We've been in the restaurant for over an hour. I let out a breath of relief when Trevor says,
Well?
Claps his hands and stands. On the way back to his place, we pass a small coffee shop, and Trevor raises his brow, a silent invitation. Maybe another night this week? I offer with a smile.
Sounds like a plan.
The corner of his mouth rises into his famous half-smile, and we continue the trek to his building. With a quick goodbye and a friendly hug, I climb into my car and immediately reach for my phone. I'm frazzled with anxiety and desperation, but I shove those feelings back into the darkness. 9 missed calls, every single one from Harden. I call him back immediately, only to get his voicemail. The drive from Trevor's apartment to Kimberly's house is long and tedious. The traffic in Seattle is terrible, bumper to bumper and noisy. Honking horns, small cars whipping from lane to lane. It's pretty overwhelming, and by the time I pull into the driveway, I have a massive headache. When I step through the front door, I see Kimberly seated on the white leather couch, a glass of wine in her hand. "How was your day?" she asks, and leans over to place her drink onto the glass table in front of her. "Good, but the traffic in this city is unreal," I groan, and plop down on the crimson chair next to the window. My head is killing me. "Yeah, it is. Have some wine for your headache." She stands up and walks across the living room. Before I can protest, she pours the bubbling white wine into a long-stemmed glass and brings it to me. Taking a little sip, I find it's cool and crisp, sweet on my tongue. "Thank you," I say, with a smile, and take a bigger sip. "So, you were with Trevor, right?" Kimberly is so nosy, in the sweetest way. "Yes, we had a friendly dinner, as friends," I say innocently. "Maybe you could try answering again and use the word friend a few more times," she teases, and I can't help but laugh. "I'm just trying to make it clear that we're only, friends." Her brown eyes shine with curiosity. "Does Harden know you were being friends with Trevor?" "No, but I plan on telling him as soon as I speak to him. He doesn't care for Trevor for some reason." She nods. "I can't blame him. Trevor could be a model if he wasn't so shy. Have you seen those blue eyes of his?" She exaggerates her words by fanning her face with her free hand, and we both giggle like schoolgirls.
"Don't you mean green eyes, love?"
Christian says as he suddenly appears in the foyer, causing me to nearly drop my glass of wine onto the hardwood floor. Kim smiles at him. "Of course I do." But he just shakes his head and gives us both a sly smile.
"I suppose I could be a model as well,"
he comments with a wink. For my part, I'm relieved that he isn't upset. Harden would have flipped the table over if he caught me speaking about Trevor the way Kimberly was. Christian sits down on the couch next to Kimberly, and she climbs into his lap.
"And how's Harden doing? You've spoken to him, I assume?"
he asks. I look away. "Yes, a little. He's good."
"Stubborn, he is. I'm still offended that he hasn't taken me up on my offer, given his situation."
Christian smiles into Kim's neck and kisses her softly just beneath her ear. These two clearly have no issue with public displays of affection. I try to look away again, but I can't. "Wait. What offer?" I ask, my surprise obvious.
"Why, the job I offered him. I told you about it, didn't I? I wish he'd come out here. I mean, he only has, what, 1 semester left, and he'll be graduating early, no?"
"What? Why didn't I know about this? This is the first I've heard about Harden graduating early, but I respond, yeah, I believe so." Christian wraps his arms around Kimberly and rocks her a little.
"He's practically a genius, that boy. If he had applied himself a little more, his GPA would be a perfect 4.
"He really is very smart," I agree. And it's true. Harden's mind never ceases to surprise and intrigue me. It's one of the things that I love most about him.
"Quite the writer, too,"
he says, and steals a sip of Kimberly's wine.
"I don't know why he decided to stop. I was looking forward to reading more of his work."
Christian sighs while Kimberly undoes the silver tie around his neck. I'm overwhelmed by this information. Harden? Writing? I remember him briefly mentioning that he used to dabble a little in it during his freshman year of college, but he never went into detail. Every time I brought it up in conversation, he'd change the subject or poo-poo the idea, giving me the impression that it wasn't very important to him. "Yeah." I finish off my wine and stand, pointing to the bottle. "May I?" Kimberly nods. "Of course. Have as much as you please. We have an entire cellar full," she says with a sweet smile. Three glasses of white wine later, my headache has evaporated, and my curiosity has grown geometrically. I wait for Christian to bring up Hardin's writing or the job offer again, but he doesn't. He dives into a full-blown business discussion about how he has been in talks with a media group to expand Vance Publishing's in-house film and television efforts. As interesting as it is, I want to get to my room and try to call Hardin again. When an appropriate opening presents itself, I wish them both a good night and excuse myself to rush off to my temporary bedroom. "Take the bottle with you," Kimberly calls to me just as I pass the table where the half-full wine bottle rests. I nod, thanking her, and do just that.
Chapter 78. Hardin. I walk into the apartment, my legs still sore from kicking the hell out of that bag at the gym. Grabbing a water bottle from the fridge, I try to ignore the sleeping man on my couch. It's for her, I remind myself. All for her. I gulp down half of the bottle, dig my phone out of my gym bag, and turn on the power. Just as I try to call her, her name pops up on my screen. Hello? I answer as I pull my sweat-soaked T-shirt over my head and toss it to the floor.
Hi,
is all she says. Her response is short. Too short. I want to talk to her. I need her to want to talk to me. I kick at my shirt, then pick it up, knowing that if she could see me, she'd scowl at me for being such a slob. What are you up to?
I went out exploring the city, she answers calmly. I tried to call you back, but it went to your voicemail.
The sound of her voice soothes my temper. I went back to that gym. I lie back on the bed, wishing she were here with me, her head on my chest, instead of in Seattle.
You did? That's great, she says,
then adds,
I'm taking my shoes off.
Okay, she giggles.
I don't know why I told you that.
Are you drunk? I sit up, using one elbow to hold my weight.
I've had some wine,
she admits. I should have caught that immediately.
With who? Kimberly and Mr. Vance. Christian, I mean.
Oh. I don't know how I feel about her going out drinking in a foreign city, but I know it's not the time to bring that up.
He says you're an amazing writer,
she says, accusation clear in her voice. Fuck. Why would he say that? I reply. My heart pounds.
I don't know. Why won't you write anymore?
Her voice is full of wine and curiosity. I don't know. But I don't want to talk about me. I want to talk about you in Seattle and why you've been avoiding me.
Well, he also said you're graduating next semester, she says,
ignoring my words. Christian obviously has no idea how to mind his own damned business. Yeah, so?
I didn't know that,
Tessa says. I hear her shuffling around, and she groans, clearly irritated. I wasn't hiding it from you. It just didn't come up. You have a long time before you graduate, so it doesn't matter anyway. It's not like I was going to go anywhere.
Hang on,
she says into the phone. What the hell is she doing? How much wine has she drunk? After listening to her mumble incomprehensibly and futz around, I finally ask, what are you doing?
What? Oh, my hair was caught in my shirt buttons. Sorry, I was listening, I promise.
Why were you grilling your boss about me anyway?
He brought you up. You know, since he offered you a job a couple of times and you refused, you were a topic,
she says with emphasis. Old news. I don't exactly remember mentioning the offer, but I wasn't purposely keeping it from her. My intentions concerning Seattle have always been clear.
You can say that again,
she says, and I can practically see her rolling her eyes. Again. I changed the subject. You didn't answer when I called you. I called so many times.
I know. I left my phone in the car at Trevor's.
She stops mid-sentence. I stand from the bed and pace across the room. I fucking knew it.
He was only showing me around as friends. That's it.
She's quick to defend herself. You didn't answer my calls because you were with fucking Trevor. I growl, my pulse quickening with each beat of the silence that meets my question. Then she snaps.
Don't you fight with me over Trevor. He's only a friend, and you're the one who isn't here. You don't choose my friends. Do you understand?
Tessa, I warn.
Harden Allen Scott,
she exclaims and bursts into laughter. Why are you laughing? I ask, but I can't help the smile that takes over my face. Fuck, I'm pathetic.
I don't know.
The sound of her laughter resonates through my ears and travels straight down to my heart, warming my chest. You should put the wine down, I tease, wishing I could see her roll her eyes in response to my scolding her.
Make me,
she challenges, her voice thick and playful. If I was there, I would. You can be damned sure of that.
What else would you do if you were here?
She asks me. I drop back onto my bed. Is she taking this where I think she is? I never know with her, especially when she's been drinking. Teresa Lynn Young, are you trying to have phone sex with me? I taunt her. Immediately she coughs violently, choking on a gulp of wine, I assume.
What? No, I was just asking.
She squeals. Sure, you can deny it now, I joke, laughing at her horrified tone.
Unless... Is that something you want to do?
She whispers. You're serious? The thought alone makes my cock twitch.
Maybe. I don't know. Are you mad about Trevor?
The tone of her voice is much more intoxicating to me than any amount of wine I could consume. Hell, yes, I'm irritated that she was with him. But that's not what I want to discuss right now. I hear her gulp loudly, followed by the soft clink of a glass. I don't give a shit about fucking Trevor right now. I lie. Then I command, don't chug the wine. I know her too well. You'll get sick. I hear a couple of loud gulps come through the phone.
You can't bus me around long distance.
She's chugging the wine again, to build up her nerve, I'm sure. I can boss you around from any distance, baby. I grin, running my fingers over my lips.
Can I tell you something?
She asks quietly. Please do.
I was thinking about you today, and when you came to my office that first time...
You were thinking about me fucking you when you were with him? I ask her, praying she says yes.
At the time, I was waiting for him.
Tell me more about it. Tell me what you were thinking. I press. This is so fucking confusing. Every time I'm talking to her, I feel as if we aren't taking a break, that everything is the same as it's always been. The only difference at the moment is that I can't physically see her or touch her. Fuck, I want to touch her, run my tongue across her smooth skin.
I was thinking about how...
She starts, but then takes another drink.
Don't be embarrassed.
I coax her to continue.
That I liked it, and it made me want to do it again.
With who? I ask, just to hear her say it.
You. Only you.
Good, I say with a smooth grin. You're still mine, even though you're making me give you space. You're still only for me. You know that, don't you? I ask her in the most gentle way I possibly can.
I know,
she says. My chest swells and I welcome the flood of relief that comes along with her words.
Are you mine?
She asks in a voice filled with much more confidence than it had moments ago. Yes, always. I don't have a choice. I haven't since the day I met you. I want to add, but I stay quiet,
nervously awaiting her response.
Good,
Tessa says with authority.
Now, tell me what you would do if you were here, and don't leave out any details.
Chapter 79. Tessa. My thoughts are slightly hazy, and my head feels full and heavy, but in the best way. I'm grinning from ear to ear, intoxicated from the wine and Hardin's thick voice. I love this playful side of Hardin, and if he wants to play, I'll play.
Oh, no, he says with that cool tone of his. You tell me what you'd want me to do first.
I take a pull straight from the bottle. I already did, I say.
Chug some more wine. You only seem to tell me what you want when you've been drinking.
Fine. I run my index finger along the cool wooden bed frame. I want you to bend me over this bed here and take me the way you did on that desk. Instead of embarrassment, I only feel the warm flush of heat trailing up my neck to my cheeks. Hardin curses under his breath. I know that he didn't actually expect me to answer more graphically.
Then,
he asks quietly. Well, I start, pausing to take another long swig to gain confidence. Hardin and I have never done this before. He sent me a few racy text messages, but this is different.
Just say it. Don't be shy now.
You would hold me by the hips, the way you always do, and I'd cling to the sheets and try to keep myself stable. Your fingers would dig into me, leaving marks in their wake. I clench my thighs together when I hear his breathing hitch through the line.
Touch yourself,
he says, and I quickly look around the room, momentarily forgetting that no one can hear our private conversation. What? No, I harshly whisper, cupping the phone.
Yes.
I'm not doing that here. They'll hear me. If I were talking to anyone other than Hardin in this way, I'd be completely horrified, wine or not.
No, they won't. Do it. You want to, I can tell.
How can he? Do I want to?
Just lie back on the bed, close your eyes, spread your legs, and I'll tell you what to do,
he says smoothly. As silken as his words are, they come through as a full-on command. But I...
Do it.
The authority in his voice makes me squirm, while my mind and my hormones battle it out. I can't deny that the idea of Hardin coaxing me through this over the phone, naming the dirty things he would do to me, raises the temperature of the room at least 10 degrees.
Okay, now that you've submitted,
he begins without my actually having said anything,
tell me when you're down to only your panties.
Oh, but I quietly pad over to the door and turn the lock between my fingers. Kimberly and Christian's room, as well as Smith's, is on the upper level of the house, but as far as I know, they could still be on the first floor with me. I listen closely for movement, and when I hear a door shut above me, I feel better. I hurry and grab the wine bottle, finishing it off. The heat inside of me has turned from a small flicker to a blazing inferno, and I try not to overthink the fact that I'm stepping out of my pants and climbing onto the bed, wearing only a thin cotton shirt and panties.
Still with me?
Hardin asks, an evil smirk surely on his face. Yes, I'm preparing. I can't believe I'm really doing this.
Stop overthinking it. You'll thank me after.
Stop knowing everything that I'm thinking, I tease, hoping that he's right.
You remember what I showed you, right?
I nod, forgetting that he can't see me.
I'll take the nervous silence as a yes. Good. So just press your fingers where you did last time.
Chapter 80. Hardin. I hear Tessa gasp, and I know she's followed my instructions. I can picture it perfectly. Her lying on the bed, legs spread open. Holy fuck. God, I wish I was there right now to watch you. I groan, trying to ignore the blood rushing straight to my dick.
You like that, don't you? To watch me?
She gasps through the line.
Yeah, fuck yeah, I do.
And you like to be watched, I can tell.
I do, just like the way you like it when I pull your hair.
Reflexively, my hand goes between my legs. Images of her writhing underneath my tongue, her fingers tugging my hair as she moans my name, fill my mind, and I press my palm against myself. Only Tessa can make me this hard, this quickly. Her moans are quiet, too quiet. She needs more encouragement. Faster, Tess. Move your fingers in a circle, faster. Imagine I'm there, it's me, and my fingers are circling you, making you feel so fucking good, making you come. I say, keeping my voice down in case my annoying house guest happens to be in the hall.
Oh my!
She pants and moans again. My tongue too, baby, swirling against your skin, my sinful lips pressed against you, sucking, biting, teasing. I slide my gym shorts down and begin to stroke myself gently. I close my eyes and focus on her soft pants, pleas and moans.
Do what I'm doing. Touch yourself,
she whispers, and I'm gifted with the image of her back arching off the mattress as she pleasures herself. Already am, I mutter, and she whimpers.
Fuck, I want to see her. Talk to me again,
Tessa begs. I fucking love the way her innocence disappears in these moments. She always loves to hear such filthy things.
I want to fuck you. No, I want to lay you back on the bed and make love to you, hard and fast, so powerfully that you're screaming my name as I thrust deeper and deeper.
I'm... She moans low in her throat, and her breath catches.
Come on, baby, let go. I want to hear you.
I stop speaking when I hear her come, soft whimpers and whines as she bites into the pillow or the mattress. I have no fucking clue. But the image sends me over the edge, and I spill into my boxers with a strangled groan of her name. Our matched breathing is the only sound on the line for seconds or minutes. I can't keep track.
That was...
She begins, panting and out of breath. I open my eyes and rest my elbows on the desk in front of me. My chest moves up and down as I try to catch my own breath.
Yeah... I need a moment,
she giggles. A slow smile tugs at the corners of my mouth, and then she adds,
and here I thought we had done close to everything. Oh, there are plenty of other things I want to do to you. However, alas, we have to be in the same city to do them. Come here, then, she says quickly.
I put the phone on speaker and examine my hand, front and back.
You said you didn't want me there.
We need space, remember?
I know,
she says a little sadly.
We do need space. And this seems to be working for us, don't you think?
No, I lie. But I know she's right. I've been trying to be better for her, and I'm afraid that if she's quick to forgive me again, I'll slip and lose the motivation. When we find our way back to each other, I want it to be different for her. I want it to be permanent so I can show her that the pattern, the endless cycle, as she calls it, will end.
I do miss you so much, she says.
I know she loves me, but each time I'm given a sliver of reassurance, it's like a weight's been lifted from my chest.
I miss you too, more than anything. Don't say two. It sounds like you're just agreeing with me,
she says sarcastically, and my small smile grows, overtaking my entire being.
You can't use my ideas. Way to be original.
I playfully scold her, and she laughs.
Can two?
She childishly fires back. If she were here, I'd be greeted with her tongue sticking out at me in mock defiance.
God, you're feisty tonight.
I roll off the bed. I need a shower.
That I am.
And incredibly daring.
Who knew I could convince you to get yourself off over the phone? I chuckle and walk into the hallway.
Harden!
She squeals in horror, like I knew she would.
And by the way, you should know by now that you can get me to do just about anything.
If only that were true, I murmur. If it was, she would be here now. In the hallway, the floor is cold on my bare feet, and I wince. But when I hear a voice start to speak, I drop my phone to the ground.
Sorry, man, Richard says close to me. It was getting a little warm in here earlier, so I...
He stops when he sees me scramble to pick up my phone, but it's too late.
Who was that?
I hear Tessa exclaim through the speaker on my phone. The drowsy, relaxed girl she'd been so recently is gone, and she's on high alert.
Harden, who was that?
She asks more forcefully.
Fuck!
I mouth a quick, way to fucking go, to her father, and grab the phone, removing it from speaker and hurrying to the bathroom.
It's...
I begin.
Was that my father?
I want to lie to her, but that would be fucking stupid, and I'm trying not to be so damn stupid anymore.
Yeah, it was, I say, and wait for her to scream into the receiver.
Why is he there?
She questions.
Well...
Are you letting him stay with you?
She releases me from the panic of having to find the right words to say in order to explain this fucked up situation.
Something like that.
I'm confused.
So am I, I admit.
For how long? And why didn't you tell me?
I'm sorry. It's only been like 2 days.
The next thing I hear is the sound of water running in a tub, so she must be feeling okay to start that up. But still she asks,
why did he come there in the first place?
I can't bring myself to tell her the whole truth. Not right now. He doesn't have anywhere else to go, I guess. I start the shower myself as she sighs.
Okay.
Are you mad? I ask.
No, I'm not mad. I'm confused,
she says, her voice full of wonder.
I can't believe you're actually allowing him to stay at your apartment.
Neither can I. The small bathroom fills with a thick cloud of steam, and I wipe the mirror with my palm. I look like a fucking ghost. A shell, really. Under my eyes, dark rings have already appeared from my lack of sleep. The only thing that gives me life is Tess's voice coming through the line.
It means a lot to me, Harden,
she finally says.
It does.
This is going much, much better than I expected.
Yes, of course it does.
I feel giddy all of the sudden, like a puppy that's been rewarded with a treat from its owner. And surprisingly, I'm perfectly fucking okay with that.
Good.
I don't know what else to say to her. I feel slightly guilty for not telling her about her father's... habits. But this isn't the time, and over the phone isn't the way.
Wait, so my father was there when you were... you know?
She whispers, and a small roar sounds on the other line. She must have turned on the fan in the bathroom to drown out her voice.
Well, he wasn't in the room.
I'm not into that type of thing. I tease, to lighten the mood, and she responds with a giggle.
You probably are,
she jokes.
Nope, that's one of the very few things I'm not into, believe it or not, I say with a smile.
I will never share you, baby, not even with your father. I can't help but laugh as she makes a sound of disgust.
You're sick.
Sure am.
I fire back, and she giggles. The wine has made her adventurous and heightened her sense of humor. Me? Well, I have no damn excuse for this ridiculous grin on my face. I need to take a shower. I'm standing here with cum all over me. I step out of my boxers.
Me too,
she says.
Not the part about being covered with, you know, but I'm pretty messy and in need of a shower too.
Okay. So I guess we should get off.
We did already.
She laughs, proud of her terrible attempt at a joke. Ha ha, I tease. But then I rush out my... Have a good night, Tessa.
You too,
she says, lingering on the line. And I end the call before she can. Hot water cascades down my body. I still haven't fully recovered from her touching herself while we were on the phone. It's not only a huge fucking turn-on. It's more than that. It shows that she still trusts me. She still trusts me enough to expose herself to me. Lost in my thoughts, I push the hard bar of soap across my tattooed skin. It's hard to imagine that only 2 weeks ago, we stood in this shower together.
I think this one is my favorite.
She touched a tattoo and peered up at me through wet lashes. Why is that? I hate that one. I glanced down at her small fingers trailing over the large flower etched near my elbow.
I don't know. It's sort of beautiful the way you have a flower surrounded by all of this darkness.
Her finger moved over the haunting design of a withered skull just below. I never thought of it that way. I pressed my thumb under her chin to bring her eyes to mine. You always see the light in me. How is that possible when there isn't any?
There's plenty. And you'll see it too. Someday.
She smiled and stood on her toes to press her lips against the corner of my mouth. Water rushed between our lips, and she smiled again before pulling away. I hope you're right, I whispered into the stream of water, so quietly that she didn't hear me. The memory haunts me, replaying as I try to wash it away. It's not that I don't want to remember her, because I do. Tessa is my every thought, she always is. It's only the memories and times when she gave me too much praise, when she tried to convince me that I'm better than I really am, that drive me mad. I wish I could see myself the way she sees me. I wish I could believe her when she says that I'm good for her. But how can that be true when I'm so fucked up?
It means a lot to me, Harden,
she said only minutes ago. Maybe if I keep doing what I'm doing now, and stay away from shit that could get me in trouble, I can continue to do things that mean a lot to her. I can make her happy instead of miserable. And maybe, just maybe, I could see some of the light in myself that she claims to see. Maybe there is hope for us after all.
Chapter 81. Tessa. I can't help the anxiety that fills me as I drive through the campus. The WCU Seattle campus is not as small as Ken had made it out to be, and all the roads in Seattle seem intent on curving and going up and down hills. I prepared as best I could to ensure that everything would go as planned today. I left 2 hours early to be sure to make it to my first class on time. Half of that time was spent sitting in traffic listening to talk radio. I'd never understood that whole fad until this morning, when a distraught woman called in and told the story of her best friend betraying her by sleeping with her husband, and the two of them running off together, taking her cat Mazzy with them. Through her tears, she held on to a certain amount of her dignity. Well, about as much as someone calling into a radio station to relate her own tale of woe possibly could. I found myself sucked right into her dramatic story, and in the end, I got the sense that even she knew she was better off without that guy. By the time I stop by the administration building and retrieve my student identification card and parking pass, I have only 30 minutes before my class. My nerves are stretched to the limit, and I can't shake my anxiety over possibly being late to my first class. Luckily, I find the student parking lot easily, and it's near to where my class is, so I make it with 15 minutes to spare. As I take my seat in the front row, I can't help but feel a sense of loneliness. There was no meeting Landon at the coffee shop before class, and he's not in the seat next to mine now as I sit in this classroom remembering my first half year of college. The classroom fills with students, and I begin to regret my decision when I notice that, besides me and one other female, the entire class is guys. I thought I'd sandwich this course, which I didn't really want to take, between some others this semester, but overall I just wish I hadn't decided to take political science at all. A handsome boy with light brown skin sits down in the empty chair next to me, and I try not to stare at him. His white button-up shirt is crisp and perfectly ironed at the seams, and he's wearing a tie. He looks like a politician, bright white smile and all. He notices me looking at him and grins.
"Can I help you with something?"
he asks, his voice full of both authority and charm. Yeah, he's certainly going to be a politician one day. "No, so sorry," I stammer, not meeting his eyes. When class starts, I avoid looking at him and instead focus on taking notes, reading over the syllabus repeatedly and looking at my map of the campus until class is dismissed. My next class, art history, is much better. I feel more comfortable surrounded by a casual crowd of art students. A boy with blue hair sits next to me and introduces himself as Michael. As the teacher has us all go around and introduce ourselves, I find that I'm the only English major in the room. But everyone is friendly, and Michael has quite a sense of humor, making jokes throughout class and keeping everyone entertained, including our instructor. Creative writing is last, and most certainly the most enjoyable. I'm lost in the process of writing down my thoughts on paper, and it's freeing, entertaining, and I love it. When my professor releases us, it feels as if only 10 minutes have passed. The rest of my week comes and goes in this fashion. I oscillate between feeling like I'm finding my way around more easily and thinking I'm just as confused as ever. But most of all, I feel as if I'm constantly waiting for something that never comes. By the time Friday evening arrives, I'm exhausted and my entire body is tense. This week has been challenging, both in good ways and bad. I miss the familiarity of the old campus and having Landon there with me. I miss Hardin meeting me between classes, and I even miss Zed and the glowing flowers that fill the Environmental Studies building. Zed. I haven't spoken to him once since he rescued me from Steph and Dan at the party and drove me all the way to my mother's house. He saved me from being thoroughly violated and humiliated, and I haven't even thanked him. I put down my political science textbook and reach for my phone.
Hello?
Zed's voice sounds so foreign, despite the fact that it's been no more than a week since I've heard it. Zed? Hi, it's Tessa. I chew on the inside of my cheek and wait for his response.
Hey.
I take a deep breath and know that I have to say what I called to say. Listen, I'm so sorry for not calling you to thank you sooner. Everything has happened so fast this week, and I think part of me was trying not to think about what happened, and I know that's not a good excuse. So, I'm a jerk, and I'm sorry, and... The words are rushing out of my mouth so quickly I can barely process what I'm saying, but he interrupts me before I finish.
It's all right. I know you had a lot going on.
I still should have called you, especially after what you did for me. I can't tell you how thankful I am that you were at that party, I say. Desperate for him to understand how much gratitude I feel toward him, I shiver at the recollection of Dan's fingertips trailing up my thigh. If you hadn't shown up, God only knows what they would have done to me.
Hey,
he says to silence me, but gently.
I stopped them before anything could happen, Tessa. Try not to think about it, and you definitely don't have to thank me for anything.
But I do, and I can't help how much it hurts me that Steph would do what she did. I never did anything to hurt her or any of you.
Please don't include me with them,
Zed says, clearly a little insulted. No, no, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to say that you were involved. I just meant your group of friends. I apologize for the way my mouth has been moving before my mind has approved the words.
It's okay,
he mumbles.
Anyway, we aren't much of a group anymore. Tristan is leaving for New Orleans early, in a few days, actually. And I haven't seen Steph on campus all week.
Oh. I pause and look around this room I'm staying in this massive, somewhat alien house. Zed, I'm also sorry for accusing you of texting me from Hardin's phone. Steph admitted that it was her during the... Dan incident. I smile to try and counteract the shiver that person's name induces. He lets out a little breath that might also be a chuckle.
I have to admit, I did appear to be the most likely candidate to have done that,
he replies sweetly.
So, how's everything?
Seattle is... different, I say.
You're there? I thought maybe since Hardin was at your mom's house.
No, I'm here. I interrupt him before he can tell me how he, too, expected me to stay for Hardin.
Have you made any new friends?
What do you think? I smile and reach across.